This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking you around the globe, one country at a time. I'm Matt, and in this age of physical distancing, I'm pleased to welcome back to the microphone on the Worldwide Wave panel, Paul.
Hello, Matt.
Great to have you back on air. And of course, we're doing Eurovision and you are our in-house guru. So very pleased to have you back to join us.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but something was missing last weekend from our television screens that has been held without interruption for 65 years. That's until this year. For the first time in its history, the Eurovision Song Contest was cancelled. It had been scheduled to be hosted by the Netherlands in Rotterdam, and the grand final should have crowned a new champion in the early hours of Sunday morning for the Australian fans.
So tonight we are joined by two super fans from around the globe to talk Eurovision and the impact of the cancellation. We're joined by Maxi Rainbow, an avid Eurovision Song Contest fan, YouTube blogger and drag queen from the United States, and also William Lee Adams, an American living in the UK who is editor-in-chief of WeWeBlog, the most visited independent site dedicated to Eurovision. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
And I do think that that really could open it up to countries that either Australia, who wouldn't really be able to host it in their home country anyways, or even countries that maybe don't have the biggest budget to have a giant, massive, you know, stage with thousands and thousands and thousands of seats for fans. I think that it could really open up some possibilities for those countries as well.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
The Eurovision Song Contest started in 1956 as a way to bring Europe together following the end of World War II, with only seven participating countries competing in the very first contest. It has now grown to be a week-long contest with two semi-finals and a grand final, and 41 countries had been scheduled to compete in 2020. Maxi Rainbow is a drag queen from the United States. She has been making videos for several years, and as a fan of Eurovision, she decided to make a dedicated channel for strictly Eurovision-related content in 2017. She provides reaction videos on the national selections, each entry's official videos, and junior Eurovision content. She posts these on YouTube, and her channel is Maxi Rainbow ESC. We asked Maxi how she heard about the cancellation of the Eurovision Song Contest for 2020 and how that made her feel.
It was kind of implied for a while. Like, I will say there were a lot of publications that were coming out. I remember, like, the Israeli network, they had already put out a statement like 24 hours before. So we were kind of all gearing up for it to happen. It was sort of inevitable at some point where just, it was a snowball. Everything was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was just kind of, the more you thought about it, the more you realized this is just not really realistic at this point. So by the time it happened, I feel like I wasn't as shocked or anything. It's not like it was some immediate out of nowhere. You know, we were all kind of prepared mentally, but it was still like surreal to think about, because it's just been like, it was 8 months of working up to that point and like working so hard to schedule everything and get everything done. And especially for me, because it was like my first time, there was so much work that I had to like put into to just prepare for something that I had never done, because I had never even traveled outside of the country before or anything like that. So it was like going to be a big thing for me. So I think that what's kind of kept me together is just the fact that I'm aware that it happened to everybody. You know, it's not like it was an individual situation for me that I just don't get to go. You know, everybody's going through the same thing. So I think it puts me a little bit more at ease, because I know that we're all going through the same thing.
If it had gone ahead, what were you particularly looking forward to, and which acts were you interested in meeting?
I was looking forward to most getting to interact with the artists, because I'm not like an interviewer. That's not really what I wanted, or that's not really what I do. So I was looking forward to kind of bringing something different. And I was preparing like games and fun different stuff to do with all of the artists to put my own little spin on it. So that was what I was most excited about, because I feel like, you know, we love the songs for Eurovision, but one of the best parts about it is the lead up, getting to interact with the artists and getting to know their personalities and everything like that. So that was what I was like most excited about. And especially I was really excited to some of the entries from this year. I was really excited to see like Greece's and Malta's, because they're people who were in Junior Eurovision before, and I remember like growing up like in when I was like in high school watching them and like making my teachers play their songs and like annoying everybody in my classes. So I was like so excited to get to meet them. It was like a full circle moment. It was going to be, they were some of my favorite artists that I was like looking forward to. Sweden as well. I was really looking forward to, I'm not just saying this, but Australia, because I love her personality and everything. I was so excited to get to interact with her, maybe talk about Pokemon or something.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to talk to her in next year, because she's been pre-selected for 2021. Do you think the other artists from 2020 should be given the opportunity?
If I think about how much money I spent to just go as a journalist or whatever, I cannot imagine all the time and effort that these people put in to get to that situation. You have some people that have tried years and years and years. Samantha Tina from Latvia, she tried 5 times to represent Latvia. And the idea that she wouldn't go and represent Latvia is just like insane. Because they work so hard to get there. They're, and the fans in general, I don't really see a negative in sending the artist from 2020. And I think that a lot of countries that have already come out and said they're not sending their entrant from this year have received a lot of backlash, because understandably so. They put so much time and effort into that, and they really want to be involved in the contest. So it sucks to see them kind of get that taken away from them and have really no opportunity to come back.
The big one that has come out and said they are not bringing back the artist is Sweden with the Mamas.
I think that that is really unfortunate. And I do understand a lot of the countries that their national selections are really big in their country. I mean, Melody Festival is a massive, massive television show in Sweden and similar countries. I don't think they've announced officially, but like Italy, Sanremo is what Eurovision is based on. It's a huge show. And so I understand the decision, but at the same time, it's just really unfortunate. I have such a love for the Mamas especially, and to not see them go to the contest is just sad. And I mean, of course we did see them last year. They were there, just not as their own act. But I wish that everybody had that opportunity. I do understand, but at the same time, you know, people like most of the entrants this year, they genuinely love the contest. They genuinely want to be involved. It's not just like they want to be here to like up their career or anything. They really seem to have a love for the contest. And we've been seeing that so much with the contest being canceled and their involvement afterwards. They clearly love the show and everything, and they want to be involved in some way. So I hope that they at least get some sort of involvement, whether that be in their national selection or something. And hopefully they come back eventually.
Who would you give your 12 points to if Eurovision 2020 was still going ahead?
So that's been a really, it's been a decision I have been just sitting on for a very long time. Originally, it was Ukraine, and I still think I would give them my 12 points. But there's some countries that have been really growing on me after the fact. I feel like now I have like an emotional connection with Eurovision 2020. So all the slow songs, especially the Netherlands, that song makes me emotional thinking about it just in the context of Eurovision. So that's been like growing and growing and growing on me. I guess pun intended, because the song is called Grow. And I also really love Azerbaijan and Armenia. I love a good like bop, just a fun song, keep the mood up.
Eurovision superfan and drag diva Maxi Rainbow speaking to us from the USA on Joy 94.9. It's quite funny. Maybe we've taken Eurovision for granted, Paul. You know, there are real, genuine, emotional pain, withdrawal from, you know, the hardcore fans who, for whom Eurovision is a key part of their life.
That is true. I mean, even though, as Maxi said, that there was hints that this was going to be cancelled, people didn't really, until it was officially announced, people didn't know. And there is that feeling of loss, whether it's annoyance that all your plans are suddenly being thrown up in the air, or whether it's you've lost the chance to actually meet up with people, either in real life, as in attending the event, or through parties that were due to go on. So yes, there is a feeling of loss for a show, but it has a big impact. That show had a big impact on lots of people's lives.
Well, it's not even just the show, because Eurovision, the machine, starts months in advance when countries are having their own selection parties, and then there's all the pre-events, and then there's this big build-up to a week-long build-up into the grand final. So it's actually, you know, it's a big chunk of the year.
Yeah, most people would think it's just a week in May. For real fans, for super fans, it starts in like January. Like the first song is selected usually by Albania, and it's usually around Christmas or just after Christmas. And then there's a whole sway of national selections that come on after that. I mean, the Australian one is in February. So we've had Montaigne and her song Don't Break Me since then. And you know, there's 40 odd countries generally that compete. They've all got to announce their songs at some point during that period.
We've got so much more coming up with Maxi Rainbow. She tells us what she would like to see happen in 2021 for Eurovision and the role Australia could play.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
A queen like me, just like me, just like me. Straight or gay or in between, in between, in between. Betrayed by a lover, so hard to recover. Couldn't see the forest for the trees, just like me all into this. Like this. La Cleopatra. La Cleopatra.
ocean, a Latin, the voices run through me, come to me.
That's Cleopatra by Samira Effendi, the Eurovision 2020 entry from Azerbaijan on Joy 94.9 and streaming worldwide at joy.org.au. Even though we are currently broadcasting outside the studios, you can still message us on Facebook. Our page is Worldwide Wave. You can get there. W3Joy is a shortcut. We had lots of interest during the week about the story of the arrest in an alleged gay hate crime in Sydney. The arrest came after 32 years, finally bringing some closure to the family of Scott Johnson. Mel raised the good point that there were a whole group of murders around those, or suspected murders, and certainly unsolved cases around that time of gay men at Beats. And she wondered if this, you know, if there'd been any connection. The news we have is that there is no direct connection that has been made public, but hopefully, you know, as they dig deeper into this case, it might bring some change. Selena says at least they got him. Now he can rest in peace. You can message us. It's Worldwide Wave on Facebook.
Now returning to Eurovision. With the cancellation of Eurovision 2020, there has been a groundswell of alternative content from both broadcasters and the fans to fill the void felt after the cancellation. Maxi Rainbow is a Eurovision fan and YouTuber blogger from the US. We asked Maxi whether she agreed that much of this content would make a welcome addition to any year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what we're seeing in general with everything going on right now is sort of an emphasis on like digital things going on with those interviews, with the home concerts. And I would love to see them do more stuff like that, especially like, okay, over the summer when we don't have anything going on, why not? Let's bring together like past Eurovision contestants and current ones and put together a show that we can keep stuff going on 100% like the whole year round. You know, I would love to see more stuff like that going on. I've loved the Nikki tutorials sort of interviews going on. I've watched every single one. And I would love to see more stuff like that going forward. More kind of digital things to interact with the artists.
If COVID-19 is still around in 2021, do you think Eurovision could be hosted or presented as a TV spectacular without an audience and maybe give an opportunity to other countries, maybe even Australia, to host if they have COVID-19 under control?
And I do think that that really could open it up to countries that either Australia, who wouldn't really be able to host it in their home country anyways, or even countries that maybe don't have the biggest budget to have a giant, massive, you know, stage with thousands and thousands and thousands of seats for fans. I think that it could really open up some possibilities for those countries as well. So that's a really good point. You can put on a really good show without the audience, and I don't think that that's necessarily essential. I think that it's good for the spirit of the contest and of the fans and everything, but I don't think it's necessarily essential to the actual show. And I think that it would open people up to doing some different stuff, because I've seen staging be completely ruined by like wide crowd shots and stuff like that. If we didn't have that as a potential thing, then maybe that would be better for staging. I think that it opens up like a new way of doing things and gives new opportunity to try something different. I mean, we've had the contest for over 50 years with a crowd. It's not going to hurt if maybe next year they need to do it without a crowd or something like that. You know what I mean? And I think that it is possible. I don't think that it ruins the overall show.
Were you at all surprised how the online community of Eurovision fans has come together after the cancellation?
Yeah, I think that that is one of the things that I love so much about this community, is the way that we all kind of are outsiders of some sort, and we all can come together in these situations. And you know, maybe the contest isn't going on, but we can all come together and put on our own show and make it as amazing as possible, both with like supporting the artists and also, either the sort of home concerts and everything that the Eurovision channel has been putting on, but as well, there's been a lot of like fan contests, fan votes, and it's really fun to watch all of those things. It almost feels like, you know, obviously we don't have the contest actually going on, but it keeps the sort of spirit of the contest going.
That was our wonderful guest from the USA, Maxi Rainbow.
Our second guest tonight is William Lee Adams, founder and editor-in-chief of WeWe Blogs, the world's most visited fan site on the Eurovision Song Contest. We started by asking William about his favourites for this year's Eurovision.
So one song I never skip is Italy, and I think part of that comes down to the pandemic. I think before the pandemic, I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic and stirring. But then when you see the people on the balconies in Italy singing it, you can't help but think of that when you hear it. And even though it's a love song about the pain of someone leaving you, that relates in many ways to losing loved ones, people dying, separation. I just find that song so stirring. It would be my winner, my 12 points, my 12 points. Love it. I also really love the Netherlands. A lot of people have called this boring, but if I'm in, you know, an emotional mood, which is often because I'm a bit of a hothead, that kind of song really calms me down. I find it very soothing. And also because I'm from the southern United States, that kind of gospel sound is very much rooted in kind of my musical identity. And if I had to pick a third one, it'd probably be Bulgaria. I really, really think Bulgaria is quality and it could have done well if they had good staging. Yes, she's compared to Billie Eilish, but there's something really likable about her voice. There's fragility, there's strength. It's just wonderful. The song is dark if you listen to the lyrics, wounds and pain and scars, but then the sound is very happy and uplifting. And so when you think about those two things together, it's a bit jarring, but in a good way.
William, can I ask you what you think of what the alternative programming that the national broadcasters, including SBS, have put forward to replace the Eurovision 2020?
Well, this needs to be the new normal, because if during a crisis people realize that Eurovision is the salvo, the thing that brings people together and calms people down, we need this every year, okay? I'm really impressed. Like, the Australian lineup, when I saw that, I was like, whoa. I could never imagine the BBC re-airing an entire edition of an old Eurovision. I just couldn't see that happening. And so it's fantastic that SBS is embracing it. And this is why. When people say, oh, Australia doesn't belong in Eurovision, I'm like, really? Look at the enthusiasm. Look at the passion. You've got Aussie Vision. You've got, you know, your radio program. There are all these different constituents who love Eurovision and bring it to Australians and really to the world. Because, you know, like all these sites, platforms get viewers and listeners from everywhere. It's fantastic. I just think this is a super kind of repost to all those people who tried to slag off Australia at the contest. Also, I think there's something quite sweet about how loyal Eurovision fans have been to artists who were chosen this year and have the opportunity snatched from them. There's such an outcry for people to bring back their artists. And I think SBS did right by bringing back Montaigne.
Talking of people coming back, what do you think about Domi Eam returning to the contest?
And I know a lot of people say, oh, Domi, don't come back. You've already won the jury. That's fantastic. But I'm like, no, you came close, so why not go all the way? And Australia has, you know, the creativity, because your staging can really be on when it's on. Like Kate Miller-Heidke, I'm sorry, that was amazing. We've never seen anything like that. I doubt we ever will again, because who is going to, you know, get on a sway pole? I would love to see Australia win. I would really love that, to see, you know, obviously how the Australians celebrate, but also how Europe deals with it. Like, will Germany co-host with you? There's so many interesting questions that would come up. And I think Domi is a woman who could do it for SBS.
William from WeWe Blogs talking about the chances of Australia winning. Paul, you threw him a curly one there. Domi Eam returning. Have you got some inside knowledge for us?
Oh, no, it's quite public. She made an announcement on Australia Eurovision. Eurovision Australia decides. Get that right around. She announced then that she wanted to throw her hat, was her words, into the competition for 2021. Obviously, that's now out because Montaigne's been announced as the entrant for 2021. So hopefully she'll be back in 2022.
And of course, she came very, very close to winning. So maybe we've got a real big chance with her again.
As William did say, that she in any other year would have won. But second's good. Satan's not bad.
Indeed. We've got more coming up from William, including talking about the personal impact of the cancellation. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Joy is made up of hundreds of amazing volunteers who keep the station running both on and off air. So we want to shine a spotlight on those wonderful people for National Volunteer Week.
On the line with us is Michael Pohl. Good morning, our music director. How are you?
Good morning, Murphy.
What's the most rewarding thing about being a volunteer at Joy?
The most rewarding thing is just the knowledge that you're doing something for the community and knowing that there are other people who are getting joy out of what you're doing.
From all of us here at Joy, thank you to volunteers everywhere.
Growing tired and weary, brown eyes. Trying to feel your love through FaceTime. Symphonies of dreams and highlights caught up in this crazy fast life. But baby, you're not here with me. And I keep
show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, World Wide Wave. And tonight we're doing a world without Eurovision. That was Australia's 2016 Eurovision entry, Dami Eam, singing Sound of Silence. A special hello to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to always leave us a review.
We are talking Eurovision tonight, and although there is no actual Eurovision this year, you could be forgiven for thinking it was still going on, as there are so many fan events around the world. UK-based William Lee Adams is the editor of Eurovision blog, WeWeBlog. William has attended numerous Eurovisions across Europe, so we asked him how he would sum up the feeling of physically attending the contest.
It's like the family reunion you want to have. It's the family reunion without the drama, because you only see these people, you know, once a year, and it's all happy, clappy, rainbows and fairy dust. I love it.
So, William, how did you hear about the cancellation of Eurovision?
I think perhaps the EBU said they were releasing out 11 or 12, but I knew I would be asleep from the night before, because I would have just come home from work, basically. So I told my blog mates, please phone me if you hear anything, just wake me up. And I got this call when I had been asleep for maybe 1 or 2 hours, really early, after being awake for 24 hours. And it was the news, and I was in this bleary haze. It was like a nightmare, you know, or maybe a death in the family. You know, a few years ago, my father died, and there's all this anticipation. You're waiting for it to happen. Then it happens, and it's awful. But this time, because I had lived through a death recently, I was prepared for it. And I know that sounds dramatic, but I knew kind of that feeling of loss in the extreme. I thought there would be a big void of time and I'd have nothing to do, when in reality, I feel as busy as ever. But yeah, it's just, I think I've distracted myself by doing as much as I possibly can. And because we're all on lockdown everywhere, it's in many ways nice to have the distraction. So I guess I'm distracting myself from Eurovision being canceled by distracting myself from the pandemic by doing Eurovision stuff. It's a big circular mess.
Have you seen anything positive come out of the cancellation, or do you have any hopes for going forward?
I do hope it encourages people to look out for one another. I think that it really varies by platform, but obviously on social media generally there's this sense of, oh, I'm anonymous, I'm talking to other anonymous people, I can be cruel and say whatever I want and there's no implication on the other end because that person doesn't exist or that website isn't a person, it's a website. I hope people do realize that there are people behind all these accounts, all these platforms, and I've seen a bit of a taming, I think, in the toxicity. But I do hope that when the pandemic ends, people will continue to be kind to each other. You hear people spouting these cliches about be kind, stay safe, but it's true. And I really do think it will linger among some people, not everyone. But I have seen various Eurofans kind of reaching out to other Eurofans in conversations. People just have this craving to engage with other people. And I guess I've always been lucky at WeBlogs because we have a big team. We're able to kind of engage within our platform. But if you have a smaller platform, maybe less people involved in it, it's great that you can kind of build a web, if you will, connect your different webs so that you have a critical mass for a conversation. Because I think if you're on your own, having a conversation isn't always as fun. You're talking to yourself. But when you bring in other voices and people who disagree with you and people who maybe have different tastes than you, it just makes things so much more interesting. Certainly in my real life, I've bumped into Eurovision fans, and there's a sense this year of we're all grieving together, I guess you could say, and that makes people just warmer. I mean, I'm not trying to, people are generally quite nice and quite warm. I'm not trying to say that people aren't, but I think this pandemic has brought out a lot of those positive qualities, and I hope they linger.
That was William Lee Adams from WeWeBlogs on some of the positive aspects he hopes to come out of the current Eurovision situation. Now, of course, if any of the matters discussed today have raised issues with you, there is support on the Joy website with links to support organisations to help.
That's joy.org.au/support.
Interesting. He's mentioned in his bit about, well, we chatted about not all the entrants are coming back this year. I think we also mentioned it with Maxi Rainbow.
It's a little bit controversial too, because you've kind of got these artists that have put so much energy, so much passion, so much of their lives into creating this experience, this show that nobody's going to see.
Well, there has been a lot of content kind of out, especially over the last weekend. So a lot of people have seen what they put out. But it's not the same. It's not the same as actually attending the competition and competing. And to be fair, there is a lot of countries that are bringing forward or bringing back their entrants. And a few were actually announced over the weekend. So Samantha Tina from Latvia, which I'm well, as mentioned by Maxine, she was announced as coming back from Latvia. Destiny has been from Malta. So there are some out there.
Do you think the countries that aren't bringing back, the ones that are still going to have a new round of country competitions next year, do you think that's about the broad, you know, the business of Eurovision, the broadcasters wanting to have a show and you know, generate income from it?
I would say that definitely is the reason for Sweden and Italy. The selection process in those two countries would probably go ahead even if there was no Eurovision. So the Sam Remo competition in Italy, it's actually been going slightly longer than Eurovision. It's what the Eurovision Song Contest is based on. And it ran for several years when Italy wasn't even taking part in the Eurovision. And the winner of San Remo, or one part of San Remo, they are given the option of attending. It's not like they have to. They are given the option of attending, and they can turn it down if they wish. And the Melfest in Sweden, again, that's a very big event for Sweden, for Swedish television.
Both of our guests tonight have spoken with a lot of hope that some of the things that have happened out of necessity this year, and the excitement of fans creating their own content and you know, keeping Eurovision alive, hoping that will happen more into the future. Do you see this experience, COVID-19, having a positive impact on the future of Eurovision?
I would have to agree with them. There's a lot of stuff, particularly from the EBU, that has been put out. EBU is the organisation that is behind the Eurovision Song Contest, that they put out, that I would love to see carry on in the next year. So they've done a series of concerts from people's homes. No, this is obviously because they needed to this time, or wanted to. But that would be lovely to see, because you get to see the singers in their home environment, and they perform the song, usually with limited support. So you get to hear what they're like as a singer.
It's the real talent.
Yeah, you get to see what they can actually do. And then they're asked to do a cover, so you actually get to hear them sing a different song. And they have also been doing a series of interviews by a Dutch YouTube celebrity. People may know her, Nikki Tutorial. She does makeup tutorials. She has been interviewing the contestants from this year to find out how they're coping with the situation, what they would have done on the stage if it had gone ahead. So I would love to see that kind of thing, so you get to actually know more about the artists.
And from an Australian point of view, Montaigne, Australia's entry, how hopeful were you about their performance?
I hoped that she would qualify. There was a bit of backlash when she was selected, because she had better known competitors like Vanessa Amorosi. The song, I like the song. The performance at the national selection was questionable, but you could see where it was going. It was sort of a draft version of what they were going to do. And she did perform on Saturday with the concept of what they wanted to do on the staging. And it was quite clever. It was 3D. She was interacting with these 3D images. And instead of being a clown on the stage, she was actually showing that she was representing a puppet.
We will play Australia's entry for you very shortly.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Web.
Baby, I can't wait to know. Believe me, I'll always be there, so.
Oh, I find it hard to see how you feel about me. Cause I don't understand you. Oh, you are yet to learn how to speak. When we first met, I will never forget. Cause even though I didn't know you yet, we were bound together then and forever, and I could never let you go.
The Icelandic entry for Eurovision 2020, Think About Things, by David Frey. And I apologise to any Icelandic people listening for my pronunciation.
Joy.org.au, not just a radio station.
We'll start off with thanking our interviewees. So that's Maxi Rainbow, Eurovision YouTube blogger, and you can search for Maxi Rainbow on YouTube. Her channel is Maxi Rainbow ESC. And also I would like to thank William Lee Adams, the Editor-in-Chief of the Eurovision fan site, Weeby Blogs. Again, you can search for that on your favourite search engine and there across all the social medias.
A big thank you for all the messages via our Facebook page throughout the week. Mario, William, Trish, Elvis, Betty, and a heap more who've joined and interacted with us throughout the week. It's W3Joy on Facebook. Like us and we'll send you a feed of world LGBTI news right throughout the week.
I'm not forgetting people behind the scenes, our podcaster, Peter, and our social media master, Dean.
Our final song tonight is Don't Break Me by Australia's Montaigne, our entry for not only 2020, but also next year, 2021 Eurovision. Paul, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Goodbye.
Feel the same buzz when your name comes up on my phone anymore. Feels like I don't feel you, I fear you, and it makes me cry on my floor. It feels like you're taking me for granted. I've given you everything I have, yeah, and I can barely bring to mind the reason why I've stretched myself so far for you. Two people trying to keep the fire burning. hanging around and starting fights while I've been busy earning. Every time that I try to explain it, you think that your pain is more important. And the hardest thing is that I don't wanna give you up. I love you, I love you, I love you. But oh, I can't take it anymore. Don't break me. Don't break me down, 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 down. Don't break me. I hear me now, 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 now. You thought I was elastic, but maybe I'm just made of glass. Don't break me. Don't break me down. I lie awake while you're asleep. I listen to the sound of all the words I couldn't say to now. Don't break me.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.